It is a delight to be with you this Lord's Day on this special occasion and to join with you, particularly on this day of Jonathan's installation service. I want to thank God and I want to thank him in particular for allowing us to raise our four children and to give them to the Lord before my wife and I even had children. And I believe even before we were married, we made an agreement before the Lord. And it was my wife's initiative, and I heartily agreed with her. Lord, don't give us children unless they would honor you. And by the grace of God, that is what's been happening. God has saved our children. They were baptized, they're members of churches, and are seeking God's face for life. And that's all to God's praise. And we don't take credit for it. So I was talking to two ladies here. I guess it was Al's wife and Eric's wife. I get some of these names right. And just giving credit to God, you know, we can't do it. We can't do it. And God's been so gracious. And so I want to thank you as a church for opening your arms to Jonathan and Emily, for making them part of your fellowship, and for allowing them the privilege to minister amongst you. And I know it's a two-way street, isn't it? As they minister to you, you minister to them. And that's all part of how the body of Christ does work. So may God increase your love for one another, as Paul said in 1 Thessalonians. May you love each other more and more, and that way be evidence of God's mercies and grace in your life. 2 Timothy chapter 3, if you please turn in your Bibles to that text. 2 Timothy chapter 3, here in Paul's second letter to young Timothy, most likely just months perhaps before Paul would meet the end of his life there in Rome. He sent off this epistle to Timothy to further encourage him, despite the suffering and hardships of ministry, to persevere in the ministry of the Word. We come to chapter 3 and verse 10, very familiar verses to us. Please do not allow yourself to be lulled into familiarity, but allow God's Spirit to minister even in these few moments together. I'd like to pick up the text in chapter 3 of 2 Timothy in verse 10. Paul writes, "You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings, what kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge: preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry." This is the pastoral charge to Jonathan. So I'll be speaking to you, Jonathan, but I invite all the rest of you to listen in very carefully. Well, in this second letter to Timothy, the apostle crescendos through this passage to chapter 4 and verse 2 with this well-known charge, preach the word. Now, that charge could be the content of my charge to you, Jonathan. But I've chosen this morning to exhort you with what Paul preceded the charge, preach the word, with. Three things jump out to me from this passage, beginning in verse 10, of the reason Timothy is to preach the word. And it's with those three things this morning, I trust this will strengthen your resolve to make the preaching of Christ and his word central in your life and ministry. And we find the first one in chapter 3, beginning verse 10, and we could title it this way, because of the lives and examples of those who have ministered the word to you, preach the word. Again, because of the lives and examples of those who have ministered the word to you. Look at verse 10. You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings. And then down in verse 14, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know from whom you learned it and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures. So Paul brings to Timothy's remembrance Paul's own example, verse 10, Paul's own example to Timothy, and that Timothy was already following that example. And Jonathan, you've had the privilege as a young man to be under the blessing and example of godly men who have taught you, trained you for the ministry, taught you from the Word of God how to minister the Word. And it goes without saying, but we should say, even from infancy, from your mother and your father, from Sunday school teachers, from pastors, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which have been able to make you wise for salvation in Christ Jesus. So back to childhood, you have learned from those who have loved you and cared for you in the gospel that has made you wise for salvation. I remember having the privilege in Guyana of baptizing Jonathan in one of the canals, the irrigation canals, down in hot Guyana. And the beginnings of God stirring in Jonathan's heart to bring him to faith, using the gospel that we were preaching to the Guyanese to bring him face to face with his own sin. Though he had heard it before we went to Guyana through missions festival speakers and through those who ministered at our church there in York, Pennsylvania. From infancy, you have known the Holy Scriptures. And on into Bible college and seminary, your quest for a solid biblical education, to be under the Word of God, to expose yourself to the men who would open the Word of God and to show you how to live and how to minister as a Christian. The great texts of theology, the great texts of how to live and minister in the Christian life. You continue to read and to assimilate the teaching of godly men. And with this first point, I close with the exhortation from the writer of Hebrews, who says, remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. So in three points there from Hebrews, remember, consider, and imitate. So why was Timothy to preach the word? First, because of the lives and examples of those who have ministered the word of God to him and to you, Jonathan. Preach the word because of those who have lived before you and gave you an example and have taught you. The second thing which motivates this charge, I believe, to preach the word, is found in the latter part of chapter 3 verses 14 through 17, and that is because the word is an effective word. Because the word is an effective word. Again, in the verse 14, the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. The Scriptures are the Holy Spirit's tool to bring a person to repentance and faith in Christ. And they are a tool to continue that work of saving us as His children from the mastery of sin and to perfect us unto holiness. The Word of God, the Spirit's tool to bring about salvation and then sanctification. And you know the Scriptures, Jonathan, in Philippians chapter 2, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. And then back to 1 Timothy, in chapter 4, remember these words. Paul writes, watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, for by doing so, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Well, wasn't Timothy already a believer? Well, of course he was. But he will save himself from shipwreck, save himself from the snares of sin, save himself onto a holier way of living. And that's how you, as a congregation, you were just handing a sheet of paper before we came up here about how to pray for your pastor. Please pray for your pastors. Pray for them to be set apart from the sin of this world and set apart unto the holiness that God requires of all believers, all His children. And pray for one another the same way. Amen? Yes. And Paul continues in the same point why he should preach because of the power and effect of the word. Look at verses 16 and 17. Again, very familiar verses. Paul says, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So, Jonathan, as you place yourself daily under the Word and in the Word and in the Word in you, it has this effect of teaching you, rebuking you, correcting you, and training you in righteousness so that you will be a man of God who's thoroughly equipped for every good work. And as you minister that Word to those in your studies, to those in your Sunday school class, to those who you preach to in this congregation, they too will be taught, rebuked, corrected, and trained in righteousness. This is the effect of the Spirit-empowered Word of God so that you can, as Paul says to Timothy, preach the Word with confidence because it has that intended effect to grow up in faith those who hear. So far, Jonathan, we've seen two reasons why you should preach the Word. Because, number one, of the examples of those in your life. And, of course, secondly, because it is the tool of God to change lives. And lastly now, in chapter 4, because of God and Christ Jesus, in whose presence you now are, and in whose presence you will one day stand. And we heard some of this morning in our Sunday school class, the judgment seat of Christ. The Scriptures, chapter 4, verse 1, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of His appearing and His kingdom, I give you this charge, preach the Word. Here we find motive for ministry. Jonathan, you know, to guard your heart against pride in ministry. Minister for the glory of God. Serve not as a man-pleaser, but as one who fears God. Timothy was charged to preach the Word in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus. This is a now reality, and I'm aware of it now as I stand here before you. I preach in the hearing and in the presence of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a now reality. Pastor Mark realizes that. Each man who stands behind the pulpit, each person who opens this book to minister, we do so in the presence of God. But not only a now reality, Paul continues, who will judge the living and the dead and in view of his appearing and his kingdom. The future reality. We stand here today before God and will one day stand before him at the judgment. What motive for Christ's glorifying ministry rather than man-centered ministry? Jonathan, you are aware and have experienced the pressures and temptations that come to those who minister the word. Our culture demands tolerance and has little patience for those who will stand unashamedly upon the authority of God's word and say, "Thus says the Lord." But we don't give in to those who want their ears scratched to give them what they think they want to hear. We give them what we know that they need to hear, like the doctor who sits down with his patient and is about to tell them that this patient has a cancerous tumor. Does the doctor go around the subject and tell the patient, "Everything's going to be okay. The test came out negative. You're fine"? Is that how we love a person? To somehow cover the truth and not expose them to what they really need to hear? And so when we preach the word, we don't speak it in such a way that when we're all done, everybody has this rosy feeling about themselves and leave the door and say, "Wasn't it a wonderful service?" and have no idea of the Holy Spirit's voice to them about how to grow up, how to put off sin, how to stop doing those things that displease the Lord, how to be men and women who seek the glory of God. And so in our intolerant society, who has no tolerance for intolerance, we preach the word because we love them and want them to know our God and how they are to be right before them. So may these truths sober us. And Jonathan, may these sober you even more to excel in preaching the word, because one day we will stand before our Savior and our Judge, the Lord Jesus, and give account of our lives. May you have much gold, silver, and precious stones. Let me pray. Our Father in heaven, we would ask that this very word this day would minister to Jonathan, to Emily. Yes, Father, to each of us who are here. We do stand before a holy God whose call upon our lives is one of bringing glory to the person of our Lord Jesus. And so I ask, Lord, that as Jonathan continues now in this position as pastor, assistant pastor under Pastor Mark, and has the privilege of ministering to many in this congregation, we pray that you would use in an unusual way your word in his life and through his life to grow up this congregation in the faith and in the perseverance and in the love of Jesus Christ. We pray the gospel would be on the front of his mind, would be on his lips, and that he would be one who ministers it well for the glory of your name. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.